What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. He is Andrew Destin. I am Noah Hiles. As always, our show is brought to you by the North Shore Tavern. If you love baseball, you'll love the North Shore Tavern. It is interior wall-to-wall pirates. There are appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day, and the North Shore Tavern is right across the street from PNC Park, and it is Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. Andrew, you are on the West Coast. You watched three baseball games. You saw the Pirates score six runs.
Yep.
In those baseball games. Just more of the same, it feels like. Any initial takeaways before we get into the good, bad, and the ugly?
And for me, and this is making it a little bit personal, in some ways it felt like Groundhog Day, like the movie. Yeah, I'm sure many of you watching this have watched that before, but that's for multiple reasons for me, just because, you know, I went to the park that I went to a lot of times growing up as a kid, so that part of it made like feel like Groundhog Day. But from a Pirates perspective, it felt like I watched the same game three times. The only difference really was in the 10th inning of Saturday's game, you get two home runs from your number two and three hitters in Reynolds and Hayes. You take away those, they scored three runs in three games and got shut out one of them. So it was a lot of the same, you know, all 3 days. The only thing that was different about Sunday's game, I guess you could say, versus Friday and Saturday, is you can't really criticize the Pirates for coming up short with runners in scoring position or leaving guys on base because there weren't any. They had three hits going into the ninth inning before they scratched one across against Camilo Duvall. So for me, I mean, I know we're going to get into the offense a lot, but just – it was the same game 3 days, you know, tough ones to watch if you're a Pirates fan, I'm sure, and just not a whole lot of positive takeaways, but there were a few that we can get into for sure.
What's one that you want to get into? Let's get into your good.
Yeah, I mean, real briefly, Rowdy Tellez. I mean, just look at the way that he swung the bat the last 2 days and specifically on Sunday. I mean, he coming into this series, he didn't have an extra base hit since March 31st when he homered against the Marlins. That's a long time, and they drop him in the order. He has some better results on Saturday where he's driving the ball well, has a sacrifice fly, has a really hard ground out. And what does he do on Sunday? He doubles twice. You know, that's a really good sign for the Pirates. I know a lot of people want to criticize Tellez, that signing, what he's provided for this team in general. And yeah, the early returns haven't been great, but that's a big sign for the Pirates because they need him to be part of the equation of a guy who's getting on the right track. There's still a long way to go. He's still below the Mendoza line, I believe, at the time of us recording this. So, you know, a lot of progress still needs to be made to say anything of this being a good signing or Tellez being on the right track. Anything more than just, hey, he had a good end to the series. But still, there weren't many guys to highlight for good individual performances on the hitting side. And Tellez is probably the only one warranting that. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'll save myself the time for trying to find a second good hitter in this series. I'll go with, I think, the most surprising performance of the series for the Pirates, and that's Quinn Priester. Started this series off with a bang, six shutout innings. Dominant, really, Andrew. What do you have, seven strikeouts, something along those lines? Yeah, sinker, slider. This is the Quinn Priester that I saw in Louisville when I went to see him in Skeens pitch in the first weekend of the AAA season. This is the guy that Pirate fans hoped to see and had waited, I don't know how many innings or outings. I think this is his 12th. That was his 12th MLB outing of his career. And man, I mean, he looked really good. And I know we criticized the Giants pitching staff a lot heading into this series, but their lineup is solid. I mean, you look at some of the names in that order, you recognize them. I mean, Jorge Soler, Matt Chapman, you could keep going. I mean, they've got some good hitters, and he made them look silly. He was well in control. And I've said this in other platforms and everything, I think this is something that's going to be long-term beneficial to Quinn Priester. Do I expect him to go six shutout his next time out? Probably not. I mean, that would be really hard to replicate. But I think that for a guy who has struggled to find any sort of consistency, avoid a big inning, you know, this is big. Now you have something that you can, and you can relate to this, whatever, you know, you do for work. Having one good day, you can look back at and say, all right, well, what did I do well that day? And it allows you to be confident moving forward. And Priester, I get that the Pirates necessarily, I mean, they've had really good starting pitching pretty much all season. And I don't know where he fits once Skeens is up. but it's a good sign. I mean, this is a first round pick. There's value here. And to see him put that together has got to be really encouraging for Pirate fans. So that's my good. Let's get into the bad. I'll just keep it rolling. Henry Davis, again, just not another tough series. I mean, defensively, I thought he was fine this series. I think he's probably better defensively than he has been in the last couple. Mm-hmm. But the bat's just not there to the point where, I mean, he's getting pinch hit for pretty much every game now, late in the games. And sometimes it's righty-lefty, sometimes it's not. Like, they've batted righties for him over the past week. Not necessarily in this series, I don't believe, but he's been pinch hit for pretty much every game he starts now. The strikeouts are still a problem. I said it on The Fan, and I'll say it here, and this is not a knock against, you know, Henry personally or anything, but Andrew, just seems inevitable that this guy's going to Indianapolis. There's really no doubt about it at this point. And I know that they played him more than Bart this homestand or this series, which was kind of surprising. But yeah, I think the only thing that has Hank right now in the big leagues is the tornadoes in the Midwest, which Charrington kind of talked about how that kind of threw off Grandal's schedule. But I think by this time next week, Henry Davis is an Indianapolis Indian, I think. So it's just not looking good for him. What's your bad, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'll go back to the pitching side. I'm going to go with David Bednar. And this is one that, you know, I kind of bite my tongue a little bit based off of what we saw against the Red Sox and against the Brewers, where he, you know, had three straight scoreless outings, went three straight days, I believe that was, Sunday through Tuesday of earlier in the week. But then, you know, here against the Giants, look at the Friday night game. He comes in to try and keep a scoreless game scoreless and promptly, you know, gives up a hit, walks a guy, and then Patrick Bailey sends one into the night as the walk-off home run. So that was one that stands out to you, and you go, okay, that's one bad outing, nothing to worry about too much. But then, yeah, on Saturday, he gets the save, but Jorge Soler absolutely cranks one to left. Yeah, he drives in two because it's the ghost runner or Manfred runner or whatever you want to call it on second base. But I just look at it as, hey, the struggles are not done for David Bednar. It's evidenced by the stats. The ERA is 11.70. It's just been a really rough start for him. And you have to wonder, what's it going to take to get this fixed? Because that fastball, people are sitting on it and they are not missing it, which that is not what we are accustomed to with David Bednar. This is a guy who can spin that curveball and can steal a strike and then ramps it right past you, goes upper part of the zone. That's not the case right now with Bednar. That's concerning. The bullpen in general was really good this series, aside from Bednar. So there's some decisions that need to be made there, probably in the future, of just how they're going to navigate end of games. For now, they're riding with Bednar, it feels like. But, Bednar is not himself. And it didn't cost them the game on Saturday, but it cost them the game on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, they've got two all-stars in their bullpen, and I think they've been the worst two pitchers in the bullpen this year.
Easily.
I mean, you look at everyone else. Holderman has been really good since coming back. I know you've voiced concerns over the velocity. Myself, I still think that's just kind of a product of him losing so much weight.
Yep.
And we'll see that build up. But, I mean, how about Kyle Nicklaus today? Yeah. I mean, he looked really good. But
99, man. 99, yeah. Twice. Like, he's got that. That stuff is great. It's just with him, it's always been about command. And it looks like he remedied that in Indy to at least some degree. If he can do that for you, that's just another horse in your bullpen. And Carmen Majinski is still in AAA for whenever he eventually gets himself back up here. So, like, the bullpen otherwise in a really good spot. Just not Sammy Bednar or Aroldis Chapman.
Pitching in general has been pretty good. So, you know what hasn't been good, Andrew, and we'll get into the ugly. There's nothing else that you can even compare ugly right now. It's the offense. It's just another bad series. I would say this was worse than the Met series, where they got swept. And I know that they scored four runs in one game in this series. The Mets get series, they only scored three, I think, was their max. But, I mean, my goodness, dude, they cannot generate runs in a nine-inning baseball game. And they're wasting start after start after start. Good bullpen performance after good bullpen performance. I tweeted this number. You've got some other stats that you're going to share too. You look, I mean, they're 12-1 in games where they score four or more runs. Their one loss was on, what was that, Thursday to the Brewers when Chapman served up that home run. They're 2-14 when they score three runs or less. All this team has to do is score four runs, and it's going to win.
Yep.
Like, that's how good the pitching has been, and they can't do it. And it's not one person. It's everyone. And Charrington pointed out on his radio show, and I tweeted it. He said three people on our team are having better offensive seasons than we projected. Joey Bart, Alika Williams, and Connor Joe. Two of those three guys have played in less than, like, what, 10 games this season? And the other is a platoon guy. That can't happen. Not for a whole month.
Yeah.
And it is. It's really, really bad right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, the only other note I'd add on to that is just, you said it there. I mean, those are three guys who are not your lineup regulars, and you can go up and down and say, you know, yes, Brian Reynolds stats-wise has been all right. P. Brian Hayes stats-wise has been all right, but it's not the kind of production that you need out of your number two and three hitters. Michael A. Taylor has come back down to earth after a hot start. Like, you can go up and down. Jared Triolo had a nice game today, but otherwise has been kind of scuffling at second base, you know, hitting-wise. Defensively, he's been great, but it's, like you said, it's throughout the lineup. It's not enough, and, you know, the woes, I feel like they've only been heightened recently. You kind of mentioned the Mets series there, but I'll extrapolate it out to the last 12 games. They've scored 25 runs. You know, that's a little bit over to a game, and they've gone 3-9 during that stretch. So, listen, you can't – and here's another note is the last seven games, their starting rotation has generated ERA combined, the seven starters, of 2.16. Not only is that unsustainable to some degree because that's really good, but you can't waste that. You can't just throw that away if you expect to be a playoff team, if you expect to be competitive. And at some point, you have to figure out how to fix this. I don't have the solutions. I'm not in the organization or anything like that. But you just look at it and say, if they keep this up, this team is not going to get to where it wants to go. Obviously, this is problematic. And there is not really any sight or any evidence of this turning a corner other than, you know, you lean on a ninth inning rally against Camilo Doval, who was throwing in a third straight game. I guess that's a takeaway, I guess, but I don't know. To me, the offense is in a real funk right now, and I really struggle to find any silver lining here.
Yeah, and I know this goes beyond just the series, but you look at it, it's like, how does this get fixed? This is what they have to work with. Mm-hmm. There's no one coming up from AAA this year that's going to be a huge difference maker at the plate. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Nick Gonzalez is having a good year. Maybe he can come in and be a little bit of a spark. You could say the same thing for Higuero or, you know, Bay, but like, there's not a Paul Skeens that's going to come up and play every day for this team. Mm-hmm. And in years past, there has been. Like, the last time this team was competitive consistently, I mean, they had a Starling Marte to call up, you know, like there were guys that could come up and make a difference. That's just not in the cards this year. These are the hitters that they have. Unless they go external and they flip some prospects and bring in an everyday player, it's O'Neill Cruz who's going to have to step up. It's Brian Hayes. It's Brian Reynolds. Someone is going to have to take the lead and put this team on his back. Otherwise, I mean, this is bad. So on the note of bad things, Andrew, as we wrap this up, the Oakland A's are the next opponent for the Pittsburgh Pirates. You want to talk about bad, just go ahead and look at their offensive stats. You know, the Pirates fans think they have it bad. I mean, the A's, they don't hit the ball at all. I think that that's probably more acceptable when you consider their expectations for this year. But the pitching staff isn't horrible, I will say. It's not as bad as its offense. So that's, I guess, my, you know, small, in a nutshell, analysis of Oakland. I think anyone who watches baseball knows what the deal with this team is. I mean, do you have anything else to add on, you know, the other team from the Bay Area?
The only other note I'll have is just Giants cast off starters being the guys who are rolling it there. Yeah. Out, you know, they're going to face two of them in the three-game set, with it being Ross Stripling, I believe, on the Wednesday game. And then on Monday, it's going to be Alex Wood. So the rotation is what it is. These aren't guys that are going to blow it past you in terms of velocity. That's not until you get to the ninth inning when it's the Bethel Park alum in Mason Miller. He's a guy who that's, I mean, it's not so much a matchup, but I'll just throw it in there for Pittsburgh people of, hey, that's something to watch for, is a guy who hits triple digits, is healthy, and has been a really good closer for the A's. But yeah, I mean, in terms of the rotation, this isn't a good one that the Giants or the Giants have that the Pirates just faced. Neither really is it with the A's, but it's more of a soft toss group. So I'm really curious to see how the Pirates match up against that. Because, you know, I asked Eric Shelton about this. He basically said, yeah, we got splittered to death, essentially. That's what the Giants did to them, was just throwing splitters. They couldn't touch any of them from Hicks today against Keaton Wynn. That was troublesome. So if it's going to be death by off speed, this is a team that could very well replicate that kind of game plan with the A's. So stay tuned to see how the Giants or the to see how the Pirates respond to that.
All right. He's Andrew Justin. I'm Noah Hiles. You can check out our work at post-gazette.com. And you can check out all of our content from the Post Gazette on the Post Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.